Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. Thank you for joining us today. We have our usual crew of nefarious actors here, and that would be Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello. 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 Hello.
Diane Ruffino.
Hello.
Howie and Rainer James.
Hey there. Rick.
And I'm, again, your host, Rick Hopkins. And CCTA is Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan, conservative, constitutional conservative group of citizens just like you that are concerned about what's going on in our government. And we like to advocate for lower taxes, more freedom, less regulation, all kinds of things that are affect our lives as individuals and our freedoms and our individual rights. And that being said, Hal James, he's not only chairman of CCTA for 2018, he's also for a long time been our chairman of our watchdog group. Hal, you attend the commissioners' meetings and report back to us, and every time you find something that needs to be talked about, you put it in a watchdog report, and you've got an interesting one you want to talk about today.
I sure do, Rick. I was really pretty upset about it. Well, I went to the Board of Commissioners meeting on the 20th of August, and when I typed out the agenda that becomes available on the Friday before one of these Monday meetings, it's usually pretty long. But anyway, I have to have them typed out so I can easily read them. And right under the consent agenda, it had economic development requests for public hearing on Project Grouse and an economic development request for public hearing on Project Mockingbird. Well, to me, that sounds like military intelligence work or something, giving these projects these various names. And I said, what is Project Grouse? What is Project Mockingbird? There was no explanation of it. After the meeting was over, I had a little conversation with Commissioner George Liner. And I told him that it was kind of upsetting to me that this had been passed with no discussion. You know, there's no discussion of anything on the consent agenda. And all the members present voted yes on the consent agenda, just going on through. Tom Mark wasn't there, but he was ill, I understand. I found out later. But anyway, the thing that really upset me about it was there's no way for the citizen, the taxpayer, to know what that was going to be all about. And yet they'll probably have the public hearing on the date that they suggest having it, and it'll probably be open to the public, and you'll probably be up there, and they'll ask for public input before there's much of an explanation about it. There hasn't been any. Then, so I sent an email to George asking him to look into it or ask him what he knew about it, and he said he would look into it and get back to me. Well, he didn't for a long time. And then I finally sent him an email saying that I was going to try to find out, get to the bottom of it. I was going to put it on our radio show or in the County Compass newspaper or make the public aware of it in any way that I possibly could, and would appreciate it. If there's any problem that I don't understand or don't see, please let me know. Well, he did email me back after that and said the information became available to the public on August the 22nd in the section of the county's website in which this preview sort of for public hearings. I don't know how many people would actually go there very often to take a look and see what's going to be said at a public hearing, but I did go there and I clicked on it. Oh, by the way, Commissioner Liner also said everything had been handled in accordance with the law. Well, actually, he didn't tell me that the reason he couldn't discuss it with me was it had been covered in a
closed session.
So they had discussed it in a closed session and then voted on it in the consent agenda. Can you believe that?
No.
Yeah, no discussion whatsoever available to the public. I mean, it was really frustrating to me.
So I guess the first question at the public hearing is, what was your reasoning for a closed session?
Exactly, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Because they need, after that reason has gone by, they need to disclose everything.
Well, you know, after thinking about this for a while, and I did remember that when the director, then director Tim Bounds, I mean, of Economic Development, asked for this road to be built, or the money, the $68,000 or whatever it was to get this road built, he did say that much about it. But that's all he said about it. So there was no indication that anything else was going to be done except the road improved. And then he comes back and leans on and says that that's an explanation to the public of this whole project. Well, it's not. And I don't know. I've got some more work to do to try to find out who's the benefactor of this, how much money of the taxpayers is going to go for it, and what assurances do they have that they'll meet, that the companies that come in will meet the requirements of receiving the grant. You know, a lot of companies in the past have received these grants, and there's never been any follow-up explanation of whether they met the requirements of them or not, or how many employees they actually hired, or any kind of a study on it. So,
well, as I see, the Project Grouse is scheduled for a public hearing at 7 p.m. Tuesday, September 4th, the day after the holiday.
Right.
Okay. And the commissioner's room. So that's right. When that public hearing is going to be.
Thanks, Bob. And so, I hope so some people will come.
There's supposed to be public input on something that the public doesn't know anything about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. You understand it.
Makes perfect sense.
I'm afraid that that business of trying to be secretive is not just confined to Craven County. They're having same kinds of problems in Beaufort County. Just recently, the county manager signed a memorandum of understanding that the county would audit Medicare, and if Medicare was overpaid, they'd reimburse the state. It was said that was mandatory from Raleigh, but just as an aside, the Board of Commissioners never took it up. It was something that was done on the QT. The public business is not being done in public, and it can lead to some very bad things.
Yes, it can. Well, folks, that's a report from Hal on our Craven County Commissioners. His watchdog group is very active in following these issues, and he'll bring us more information as he gets it. Right now, we're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, before the break, you heard a report from our watchdog chairman, Hal James, on some things that the commissioners are doing that aren't truly open to the public, and we'll wait to get a follow-up from him on that at a later time. But Mary, you had some national-level stuff.
I think we're all a little bit tired about hearing about Hillary's server. But I think one of the things that is just now coming out that wasn't reported was some of the consequences of her having a private server. Now, when this was first discovered, there were a lot of pundits I heard say things like, any country with intelligence agencies worth their salt has hacked this. And unfortunately, there were consequences for that. And I went to a May 21st, 2017 article in the Business Insider, which pointed out that China killed or imprisoned 18 to 20 CIA sources from 2010 to 2012, which crippled U.S. spy operations in China. And at that point, they said the origin of the breach, the security breach, has not been identified. That was the New York Times reporting that the breach had not been identified. Well, yesterday I came across an article stating that a Chinese-owned company penetrated Secretary Clinton's private server and put a code in there so that they were looking at her screen real time. Which means when she opened any kind of an email for State Department business, China was looking at it with her. Now, we know that President Obama corresponded with her on her private server under an assumed name. So that means they got all of his email that he sent to the State Department. And the Business Insider, again, this is the 2017 article, said, by 2013, U.S. intelligence concluded that China's ability to identify its agents had been curtailed, and the CIA has been trying to rebuild its spy network there. Well, Hillary Clinton set up her private server when she took office in January 2009, and she left that position in February of 2013.
Ooh. Why does this matter anymore?
Because there are, what?
You mean what difference does
what
it make?
What difference does it make now?
Because there are dead people.
And
the article says the Chinese killed at least a dozen people providing information to the CIA from 2010 to 2012. And they dismantled our network there. And again, this article was written in 2017. The breach was considered particularly damaging, with the number of assets lost rivaling those in the Soviet Union and Russia, who perished after information was passed to Moscow by spies Aldrich Ames and Robert Hansen, I guess. And the Chinese activities began to emerge in 2010 when the American spy agency had been getting high-quality information about the Chinese government from sources deep inside the bureaucracy. And that's when it was shut down.
There was a footnote to that on One American News today. They said that a CIA agent in a panic went to the FBI to try to get them to get Hillary to shut it all down.
Mm-hmm.
The agent they went to, you ready for this? Struck.
Oh, gosh. Well, hey, and I just wanted to add that that's a cold way to refer to lives lost. It's just assets lost. And what Diane mentioned, she said that what at this point, what differences matter. The same thing was said about the assets that were in the people that were in Benghazi. You know?
Yes. That, we were just maybe being sarcastic. That's what Hillary said. Yes. Why are we still talking about it? Yes. You know, what difference?
Yeah. Because people lost their
lives.
People
lost their lives.
Absolutely.
Well, now, right. Mary, you know that there are a lot of people out there that refuse to accept what you're saying and that they all claim that it's all conspiracy theories. But the facts are, right now, you've got all these congressional hearings going on. You've got the Mueller investigation. More and more and more is coming out about all of this. And there's more and more evidence every day being revealed. Also, the Trump administration has copies of all that stuff.
Well, the interesting thing to me, that one of the things that hit me when I read these articles was, had Hillary been elected president, the Chinese could have used anything in those emails to blackmail her.
Or to in negotiations, right?
Yes. Right. I mean, we would have been at a real disadvantage in any negotiations with the Chinese.
Well, when you dig deeper, you find out that part of the reason they have the ability to be so good at what they're doing is because of the trade secrets that were provided to them by previous administrations.
Well, there was something I came across about some of our military equipment secrets that they had picked up through, again, through getting into this server because they had access to all kinds of things.
There are reports that they can hack into our aircraft systems and all.
So great.
That's, you know, and we've had a number of planes fall out of the air here recently. But once again, some people are going to call it conspiracy theory, but Diane?
As Trump said, the investigation on Hillary and the private server has never been completed. So I'm hoping that they will go back and then look into this matter now with this new information.
Well, the biggest problem with coming to a conclusion on all of that is that the justice system was so corrupt. So many people were embedded that were part of the problem. So they have to be filtered out and gotten rid of and replaced before real investigation and bringing this to a conclusion can happen.
Well, what really astonishes me is what happened to equal justice under the law? Why do we have these people that are so elite that they can't be touched by the
law? Because we have the Department of Injustice, what Rick said about having bad actors in there that need to be gotten. Right. We need to clean up our act. It's terrible.
I think it goes back. I mean, the thing that brought it home to me was the Black Panthers voting intimidation case. That, to me, that was the first wake-up call.
Me too, Mary.
And then we saw the IRS. And it went downhill from there. But by the same token, the people that were involved in that had to have been in place long before those incidents. Not necessarily the high-level people, but the lower-level people who went along with it. So I suspect the corruption, if I were going to say it, I'd say the corruption probably goes back to the late 80s or the early 90s.
It goes way back. And you're talking about the highest levels of these agencies, not just the justice, but our security agencies. Everything has been we've even had Muslim Brotherhood infiltrated.
Oh yeah,
put in positions of power within all these agencies.
Which is
you think they're not sharing the information they had access to, and. There's a big uproar about some of these people are losing their security clearances. Well, my gosh, I think a whole lot more need to lose their security clearances.
There are plenty of them who never should have had it.
There you go. Yeah.
And you know, they came down so hard on Richard Nixon on what happened in that incident. And then by the time Bill Clinton was president, he seemed to be golden. You couldn't touch him.
Well, remember the 800 FBI files that they found on Hillary's desk. And I have often wondered, when you think about the timeline, That was in early in his administration, would have been about 1992. There were 800, I believe it was 800, FBI files that somehow she had all the background information on a bunch of people. And it is still my belief that the people that she had the files on were the people that they were projecting were going to be the leaders in the future. And those files were a very good thing to hang over the heads of some of those people.
And who else is complicit in all this? The mainstream media.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
They are covering the tracks. They're not. Look, the Iwan brothers. That just, where'd that go? Off into Never Never Land? People don't even hear about it. There's so much of this stuff that's been revealed. And if you're going to alternative news sources and seeking the truth, you can find out so much about what's taken place, but not on mainstream media. They're silent on the issues.
Well, I know one of the things I read today was three of the people involved in the New Mexico compound that was training terrorists have been set free. Totally.
What?
No charges.
Why?
I don't know. Charges dropped.
Good.
Well, and I didn't hear that in the mainstream media. I had to go digging for that.
I bet you did, Mary.
Yeah, there's a lot of unanswered questions. So we're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Have you got a topic you'd like to hear discussed on CCTA Wake Up Call? Well, then contact us at cctaxpayers.com or email hal@cctaxpayers.com. That's Hal, H-A-L, at cctaxpayers.com. We're a conservative talk radio show
but we value your opinion and would love to have you join us. Again, contact Hal at cctaxpayers.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. We have Bob and Mary Griswold,
Hello.
Rufino, and Hal and Rainer James with us.
Hey.
And we are going to go to Diane now. She is our constitutional scholar, and she's been looking into some stuff going on here in North Carolina with a three-judge panel and their decision on our redistricting. Right, Diane?
Yep, that's it. Yep. As if our election process can't get any more messed up or confused or mucked up, I don't know. But there were two lawsuits, one filed by Common Cause and another filed by the League of Women Voters of North Carolina. Both sued the chairman of the North Carolina State Senate Redistricting Committee, whose name is Robert Rucho, R-U-C-H-O. Anyway, so they allege that the 2016 congressional redistricting plan constitutes a partisan gerrymander in violation of Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution, the First Amendment, and equal protection, the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment.
Well, where were they for over 100 years when the Democrats
exactly,
were doing it?
Exactly. So, as everybody knows, we have 13 congressional districts, and the party in power in our General Assembly has the benefit or the luxury or whatever it is to redistrict. And I think they do it every 10 years or so, but as a party in power, they have the authority to do it, I guess, so it benefits their party, right? That's one of the perks of winning the popular or winning political power in the General Assembly.
So we're talking about U.S. House districts, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's not our state districts.
It's U.S., right. It's the U.S. House. So a three-judge panel of the federal district for the Middle District of North Carolina handed down a decision in favor of the plaintiffs and struck down this congressional redistricting plan. So the equal protection basically is just saying under equal protection, every person's supposed to, one person, one vote, and this redistricting plan constitutes a dilution of vote, and the plan dilutes the votes of individuals who vote for Democratic candidates. All right, try and follow this, okay? Because I think any redistricting plan is always going to disfavor the party not in power, okay? Their First Amendment challenge is, it says, the plan implicates the First Amendment. According to the plaintiffs, the First Amendment guarantees citizens should not be burdened or penalized in the election process by their voting history or their association with a political party. Again, anyone who puts out the plan, it's going to burden a little bit the other party. That's, again,
This has been our history for years.
It just happens to be the Republicans doing it this time. And Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution, that's where it deals with the legislative power. The power of the people, well, that guarantees the power of the people to elect their representatives. And plaintiffs allege that the redistricting plan upsets the constitutional balance. Again, I think the judges heard these arguments, got all glazed over, and just agreed with the plaintiffs. I really don't understand. It's a 321-page court decision, opinion. So I didn't, of course, go into it all. But here's the problem. The problem is that because the plan is, they've struck down, it's illegal or inappropriate or illegitimate, the primary vote, which we had in, was it April or May, is no good. It's product of an unlawful redistricting plan. So we have to have the primary again. They want to have a re-primary in November. And then after that, then they want to have the election of our candidates in January. And this is going to be after the new session, the new Congress is seated. It's all mucked up.
In other words, they're going to keep screwing around with it until they get the result they want.
Yeah, it's just all screwy.
Good question, Diane. In the past, we've always had our state and our federal elections on the same election.
Yeah.
Can they be separated out, or what's going to happen?
Yeah, they can be. It's going to be a cost to North Carolina. Someone's going to have to work it all out. And they've given a couple of suggestions. The suggestion I mention here is the one the North Carolina Family Policy Council believes will be the option they choose. So that's why I didn't want to go into all options and confuse everybody, including myself. So that's the one. But you know, the bottom line is they struck down a plan duly created by the party in power. And now they say it's invalid because it's invalidated.
Not only the party in power, but the party that is responsible for doing that action.
Yeah, right.
And this is all further complicated by the struggle that's going on between our state board of elections.
Yeah. So, you know, we get mad, and in fact, I got a text on my way driving here from Jay Delancey from the NC Voter Integrity Project, and he's just totally outraged. He is tired of federal courts getting in the middle of a state matter. Yes. And this is our democratic process, and voting laws and voting, you know, redistricting and voting laws, this is all state matters, historic state functions under the 10th Amendment. And they keep forgetting that and keep getting into our house.
Right. You know, I'm with Jay on this. I think one of two things.
Right.
Either we ought to use nullification and say, no, this is a state matter. We're going to handle it to suit ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or we ought to impeach those judges and get them off the bench because they are stepping outside their bounds. They're doing something that the legislature has been tasked with doing.
Well, that's a question I wanted to ask. These judges, are they elected or appointed?
But they're appointed.
They're appointed
who? They're usually appointed by the president, probably from Obama era.
Okay. And you said impeach them. What is the process? How can we, the people...
We can't impeach...
But how can we initiate that process? Who can impeach?
Can't Congress?
Congress can. Only Congress can impeach. Yeah.
So the House is really, and boy, the House is who they're whacking with.
And
this.
It's a lower standard to impeach any official other than the president. It's a higher standard for the president. But so there's two issues. First of all, this is a 10th Amendment issue. Right? This is the federalism.
Right.
I would say. It's an opinion. Thank you for your opinion. We think otherwise. We read the Constitution a different way. Ignore it, but thank you. Or you could challenge it, which they are. They've already started the challenge. I would challenge this under a political question. This is a political question, and federal courts cannot take up a political question. That is not a proper jurisdiction. Ooh. So this, it should not have even been heard by them.
I didn't know that. Yeah. That's
so your recommendation is nullification.
Yeah, just ignore it. Just say thank you for your opinion, but...
Explain the process of nullification. How would we get that started?
Well, nullification, that would have to be by the state, and that would have to get our state legislature. And we have a couple of legislators who are in line with nullification. They understand it, and they believe it to be the rightful remedy that Thomas Jefferson said it was, but we don't have a majority, and we don't have enough. A lot of members in our state legislature just don't want any friction with the federal government or any federal agencies or branches. They're afraid that old thing of what happened with Lincoln, they don't want it again. But really, what they really need to do is to say, we followed our laws, our duly enacted laws. They've been followed before exactly the same way, and we think the decision, the decision was a partisan or politicized or whatever it was, and not follow it.
Well, not to totally overstep our bounds. I mean, if the courts are going to step in where the legislature rightly should be determining things, what's to stop us from stepping in and doing the court's job?
I think the governor can do an executive order and say we're going to go ahead as planned. But who's the governor?
Yeah, that's not a good option.
We're not in a good situation to...
Well, you mentioned the governor, and I'd like to point out that his method of governing is lawsuits.
Exactly.
Yeah, it seems
so
that way.
He's a typical Democrat. He's a typical liberal.
Yeah. I bet our poor Craven County Director of Board of Elections is pulling her hair out by now, Melanie Ray. I feel sorry for her.
Yeah, it's such a burden that gets placed on the local Board of Elections.
Yes.
That they need time to get everything set up and ready. They can't even print a ballot yet.
Well, they've got to recruit people for judges and observers,
right,
and things like that. They got a lot to do.
You know, I would look at all those races, those 13 congressional districts. Look at the percentage, how they won. If it was close, maybe look at it again.
Yeah.
But if they're not close, you know, let the primary election stand.
And the very idea of running without a primary, man, it would be chaos. Who would know who's running? And
I
who
tell
isn't?
You what, you were mentioning conspiracy theories earlier, Rick.
Yeah.
Well, if a group of people really wanted to disrupt North Carolina elections because they thought no blue wave, it's really a red wave here, could they do any better a job than what's being pulled on us right now?
Yeah. Well, you know, again, you just hit the nail on the head. If you talk about that, you're talking conspiracy. You know, it's
so tell me how you could disrupt us better if you planned it.
I don't know of too many ways you could do a better job.
What a coincidence.
Right.
Coincidences usually are not.
Well, we have a history of stuff like that, Diane.
So I think what this is doing is just planting in people's minds is that Republicans in North Carolina are trying to pull something fast. And I don't like that. They're pretty much on the up and up, and they're doing things a whole lot better and more transparently than other administrations before. So to plant the seed in people's minds that, Republicans are trying to pull a fast one, or they're up to voter fraud, or blah, 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 this is just, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's just disingenuous.
Yeah. Well, whether it's Republican or Democrat is irrelevant at this point, because the whole issue is that this process has been in place,
right,
for well over 100 years. Nothing was said about it in the past. It was everything seemed to be just fine until now.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
these three appointed judges, federal judges, not elected judges, just like they did with our marriage amendment, mm-hmm, just like they did with
voter
ID law, mm-hmm, we the people, our voices don't matter anymore when these federal judges come in and issue their opinions. And we haven't had anybody standing up for us in the past.
They're way too big for their britches, and somebody needs to take them down. We need to down
Trump
a notch.
Trump is working on
it.
He's appointing new ones every time he has the opportunity.
Yeah, he's up to about 60 now.
Yes.
Well, the Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution guarantees every state a Republican form of government.
Yes.
Okay? And what we do is we vote through our representatives. We create laws. Okay? That's our Republican form of government, and that's in our state. And how can a federal, you know, a federal branch come in and say and disrupt that and invalidate it? That's violating Article 4, you know,
and it's totally improper.
So, you know, I have a lot of problems with the topics that they're voting on, getting into our house, messing our house up,
and questioning why they accept these cases.
That's what I'm saying. Why they're even.
Because the whole premise is out of order.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing how many people I've heard say the Constitution guarantees every state a democratic form of government.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't.
Yeah, those people are ill-informed or misinformed, however you want to put it.
Misinformed, yeah.
So, let's talk about solutions, okay? It sounds to me like what's got to happen in order to do a nullification is we have to have a majority of our legislature willing to do that.
What did Jay say? He's a recent guest at
ours. Well,
Jay
would like to see this decision nullified. He'd like to see it ignored, and he'd like to see things just go on as planned.
Just ignored.
Yeah.
What would it take to achieve that outcome? Is there a realistic route to have that happen?
To ignore?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to take their chances. I think they're going to go. They're going to appeal it. And where does it have to go to? The Fourth Circuit. This is not another sympathetic panel to North Carolina, unless there's been some changes to the makeup of the of the three-judge panel there. But ultimately, they plan to have this before the Supreme Court.
All right. Well,
I don't know if it'll be done in time, but they can get a stay, right? They can go and the Supreme Court can say, on the merits, it looks like you're going to win on the merits. So they enjoin and they say everything can stay in place for now.
But with the court as it is now, isn't it probably a tie?
Yeah, but there's precedent that the district court didn't follow. So they ignored precedent. Jay believes, like I believe, and I looked at the Supreme Court, that if they followed this case, they should have upheld this redistricting plan. So if the Supreme Court has already spoken on that matter the way our state would like it, let's get it back up before the Supreme Court, because they have to follow some precedent.
All right. Well, getting back to what I was proposing, it seems to me like the best thing that we can do is the voice of the people needs to be heard.
Absolutely.
Okay? Yeah. It doesn't need to be nullified. It needs to be heard. And maybe we need a petition so we can increase the number of legislators by letting them know that that is the will of the people, that we nullify these unconstitutional rulings that are coming down from these unelected judges. And I'm serious. We need to get something started on that.
Well, our Legislative Action Committee has discovered, and I think Rain is the chairman of it, I think she'll agree, that the best way is to be just tie up their telephones with telephone calls and send them emails one right after another and make them all a little different or something. Don't send them the same thing. But they really do take into account what the public has been telling them.
Right, and that's what I'm saying to our listeners out there. Guys, you need to get involved in the process. I know you're all frustrated. You go to the polls and you vote and something gets passed and then these judges come in and wipe it out like it never even happened. We've got to be vocal. That's how the opposition is so successful in getting these things done, is they're very vocal. Even though they're the minority, they are the loudest. They squawk the loudest. They march. They demonstrate. They do. Look at all the things. What was the big reverend in Raleigh?
Oh, Barber.
Yeah, Reverend Barber. Yeah.
He's lost some weight.
look at all they achieved by just going up there and being present in numbers at the Capitol. And it's time that we started doing the same thing. We need to be visually represented and vocally represented.
I agree, Rick, but I think our style needs to be a little more polite and polished.
Yeah, we don't want to mess up the restrooms up there like they did.
It would be. Diane?
There's another route, and I don't know how lucrative this one is, but we could talk to Walter Jones. Congress has the power to alter the jurisdiction of the cases that the federal court system can hear.
Ooh.
If they take away cases on traditional state matters like marriage, I'd love to see them take that away from the federal courts, but on election laws and stuff like this, I mean, it's time to respect the 10th Amendment. And if they can take that away from the federal courts, I think that would go a long way and stop this friction.
I agree. We're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. I hope you all are enjoying this conversation, and will join us right after the break.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security, LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills.
To find the date of our next class, visit our website at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com.
Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites, like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we've been having some great conversations, but Diane, you posted something that interested me, and that had to do with the Pledge of Allegiance and a letter that was being sent home in one of the school systems. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah. So I'm from New Jersey, and a friend of mine back in New Jersey, around the corner from me, she is very involved in the school system. She has four kids and belonged to the Board of Education and all that stuff. Well, she sent me a form that a friend of hers had sent. It's from Florida, but her friend sent it to her, which she sent to me. And the form went home to the parents, with the children, to the parents, and it's a Pledge of Allegiance request. Each parent is asked to complete it. What it does is it allows the student, the child, or the parent to opt their child out of saying the Pledge of Allegiance. So I like what my friend's parent wrote. Her form, when she sent it back with her daughter, said, "This is the dumbest thing I've ever read, and I am so ashamed." So I think we should talk about whether this is just an outrage or if this is a proper function of the school system.
Because it's an outrage.
Yeah. Yes. What 8-year-old has the frame of mind to say, "I hate my country, I'm offended by it"?
Well, that's the whole thing. Your education system has been taken over and infiltrated by social justice warriors. And they don't wait for somebody to come in and complain, "I don't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance." They try to encourage you give you that's all it's about.
And Diane, didn't you say some school students are taking a knee during the pledge?
Yeah, and so I did. I talked to a friend about that, and she said there were three students in her class who take a knee during the Pledge of Allegiance. And she has been told she has no right as a teacher to say anything about it. If they want to take a knee, she has to respect it. She is so offended because, like all of us, there was a time when you respected the flag in school. You respected the time out, either to say a prayer or to respect those that wanted to say a prayer before school began. But She is so offended, she says she walks out of the room so she doesn't even have to see the outrage, the disrespect. My concern with this form is, if this is from, this was from a middle school. This, an 8-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, 10-year-old has no idea, and it does not know to dislike his country or to be offended by it. They're allowing the parents to politicize their children.
Right.
And that bothers me terribly.
Well, it's outrageous, and it is very offensive to me. But you know what? There is no constitutional guarantee that I have the right to not be offended. There is none.
That is right.
When I grew up, there were all kinds of things that took place, but people didn't get offended by them. Now, I think they hold classes on how to be offended, evidently, you know. I heard where some students just broke down crying, I think it was at UNC, because they saw banana peels hanging in the trees.
Oh, my God.
And that just upset them and offended them so bad. I don't know why, but they call them snowflakes. There's a reason they call them that.
Back in the day, when I was in school, there were certain religious groups that it was against their religion to take an oath. So they were excused. It was understood that they would be excused from the Pledge of the Allegiance, which we said every morning. But they were expected to stand at attention and be still and be respectful while the other kids recited it. So even though it was against their religion to recite the pledge, they were taught respect for it, and they were taught to honor it. And I think that's what we're missing.
Yes.
I was listening to radio the other day, and I can't really quote time and place and all, but a teacher was being interviewed, and the teacher said that a parent had called and was concerned about the curriculum that was going on in the school. And he said, what I told that teacher is, I'm not here to teach you. I'm here to teach your student, and hung up on her.
Ooh.
That's what he said he did on the radio. Yeah.
Wow. I'd like to read this response to that form when we posted it. This was from a man named Dwayne Anthony. I would never sign this, but it's ironic that the flag very much stands for the First Amendment right not to recite the pledge. This form reflects a right granted by the very flag that the petitioner is electing not to pledge allegiance to. But some also do refrain for religious reasons, since it says under God, and a core principle of this nation is not compelling people to acknowledge or honor any religion. But he's right. The flag represents our right to not recognize, you know, to use it as a speech, to have speech. So either way, respect the flag.
So they're denying the right that gives them the right to deny the right.
Either way, that's the flag represents.
So yeah, by that letter, freedom. They're encouraging the parent.
That's where I was going. It is not coming from parents. It is coming from faculty.
So what are we going to have in 10 years or even less?
Well, that's
when
a good
we've
question.
Raised a bunch of kids that haven't been taught to respect the flag or respect the country.
I happen to think that this country right now is going through a great awakening. Mm-hmm. A lot of it has to do with social media. A lot of it is bad. A lot of it is good. And the good part is that a lot of your millennials, your younger people, are finding out the truth through these social media avenues, YouTube and Twitter and all these others, because so much information is being shared out mm-hmm. by people that have read the history books. I saw something... where did I see that? Anyway, I think Trump tweeted it out. Said, read a history book from 20 years ago. Read one from 10 years ago. And read one from today.
Yeah.
Okay? You'll see what's been going on in this country. There's a globalist agenda out there. Remember Agenda 21?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, that got kind of silent all of a sudden. But it's been going on. It's revisionist history. It's taken away our monuments, our statues, everything that we used to respect and honor is being destroyed and taken away. And it's not by accident. It's an evil plan. But I believe there's a great awakening. People are starting to find out the truth is being revealed. And I think maybe in 10 years, I'm hopeful that...
It'll turn around.
There you go. Bob?
I was going to say, last weekend, I happened to go down to the Carteret Speedway with a number of folks from our neighborhood, and everybody voluntarily stood up and recognized the Pledge of Allegiance, the National Anthem, and also God Bless America.
Nice.
Another positive note in terms of a great awakening. We were talking to our granddaughter a few days ago. She was on the way to school, first day of her twins' last day of elementary school. And she was talking about, we ask questions, but they have learned cursive writing. They're 10 years old. They do traditional math. They are very interested in U.S. history and have had it several years already. They do say the Pledge of Allegiance and so on. And I said, Tanya, what do you attribute that to? And Common Core is gone. It's not there. I said, how? You're doing all the things I wish were happening in our schools here. It's wonderful for the kids, but what made that happen? She said, it's a charter school, and we have a parent-led curriculum oversight committee that is very, very active.
And that's key, parents getting involved. Exactly. Well, that's all the time we have for today's show. Very interesting conversation. I hope you all enjoyed it, and you'll tune back in for next week's edition of CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutrition consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend, and S&D Gun and Knife Shows. Other great supporters are rightwinggranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, and Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 Grantsboro. Also, the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Dr. Jay Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue, responsible Gospel Security LLC, and Oriental Dragon Boat Races. Tune in for the CCTA Wake-Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.
You're listening to CCTA Wake-Up Call right here on the Talk Station, FM 107.1 WTKF Atlantic. CCTA Wake-Up Call is a production of Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and you can join us here every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for the best in conservative talk radio in Eastern North Carolina.